Blog Talk Radio.
Buenas noches, Boricuas del Mundo. Esta es una nueva edición de Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Yo soy su anfitrión, Will Santiago Viera, y como todos los viernes estamos aquí para traerles cultura, música e información pertinente de Puerto Rico y la diáspora. Bienvenidos. Buenas noches, boricuas del mundo, ¿cómo están todos? Es un placer estar aquí con ustedes de nuevo. Hoy tenemos un show bastante bueno, así que no se me vayan. Como siempre les pido, si quieren ir a la nevera un momentito, buscar algo de beber, un cafeíto, un traguito, de una cañita o algo, lo que sea, vayan ahora, porque tenemos que quedarnos sentados aquí porque vamos a hablar acerca de algo muy, muy importante. Hoy tenemos una amiga, el nombre de ella es Desiree Garcet, y vamos a hablar acerca de algunas cositas importantes de lo que ha estado pasando con nuestro Puerto Rico y los eventos que están pasando aquí en Nueva York para ayudar a forzar a que hagan cambios positivos para nosotros los puertorriqueños allá en Puerto Rico y claramente aquí también. Tenemos una página que hemos estado anunciando en los últimos en las últimas semanas, y claramente ustedes saben que en el verano no salimos al aire tan a menudo porque mucha gente pues no está en su casa. En el invierno pues mucha gente se queda en su casa y nos escuchan, pero en el verano pues hacemos uno o dos shows al mes, muchas veces hasta hacemos solo uno al mes. Pero tenemos una página que es parte de la publicación nuestra que se llama Presente y de Pie, Boricuas of the World, Presente y de Pie. La página es presenteydepie.org. Y ahí es que tenemos toda la información nuestra, tenemos artículos que han sido escritos por boricuas, hablando acerca de lo que está pasando con nuestro Puerto Rico, y también tenemos, hablando acerca de la, por ejemplo, tenemos una señora que fue maltratada por un policía, y eventualmente ella se hizo una héroe para luchar contra el abuso contra la mujer, y escribió un libro, y ella pues escribió un artículo acerca de eso, que es muy muy importante. También tenemos un amigo mío que es un chef, y escribió un artículo acerca de su punto de vista como persona que no es puertorriqueña pero que se siente ser puertorriqueño porque creció en el barrio latino en Manhattan, y entonces pues es interesante lo que él escribió, y me gustaría que pues fueran allá y lo vean. Tenemos también nuestra página de información donde ponemos eventos especiales que están pasando en nuestra comunidad, y tenemos uno muy importante que es la marcha en Washington para desencarcelar a Oscar López Rivera. Y esto se llama Interfaith Freedom Convocation, y será el domingo, octubre 9, a las 12 del día. Como ustedes deben saber, él ya está en la cárcel por 35 años, y entonces ya es tiempo de que salga, ya es tiempo de que, no que lo perdonen, porque no tienen nada de que lo perdonen, sino que lo saquen ya y que pueda estar con su familia. Ustedes, déjenme ver, van a haber presentaciones de Danny Rivera, Roy Brown, Tito Auger, Jóvenes del 98, y una presentación especial de Cornel West y René López. Así que no se lo pierdan, vayan para allá porque tenemos que luchar por la libertad de Oscar López Rivera. Si ustedes van a nuestra página, ustedes van a ver el flyer, para que así pues puedan ver la información, a quién tienen que llamar y todo eso. Si quieres información rápida, pues vete a boricuahumanrights.org y allí pues podrás conseguir la información que necesitas. En nuestra página tenemos todo. Las páginas, nosotros tenemos páginas en Facebook, tenemos Twitter, y no quiero decirle las páginas a ustedes, pero ustedes también pueden ir a presenteydepie.org y allí van a ver el área, el tab de las páginas, usted va allí y puede ir directamente desde ahí a esta página y se hace miembro de esas páginas. Así nos sigue. Si quiere seguirnos, usted mándenos un correo electrónico también y nos dice, pues, que quiero seguir el show Boricuas of the World Social Club, y nos lo manda a will_santiago@presenteydepie.org, o puede mandarlos a boricuasoftheworld@gmail.com. Okay, así que no me fallen eso, que eso es importantísimo. Como les dije, tengo una persona aquí, una amiga, que tiene su cabeza en el lugar correcto, sabe lo que está pasando con nuestra gente en Puerto Rico y es una luchadora por eso, y se llama Desiree Garcet, y quiero que le den una bienvenida. Yo sé que ella no va a escuchar esos aplausos, pero desde su casa aplaudan por Desiree. Hola, Desiree, ¿cómo estás?
Hola, Will, muy buenas noches, y buenas noches a todos los que nos escuchan.
Es un placer tenerte. Yo, aunque tú y yo no nos conocemos personalmente, pero creo que sé mucho de ti por lo que veo que pones en la página de Facebook acerca de la lucha para la libertad de Scar y la lucha por la libertad de nuestro país. Así que yo te agradezco todo eso que estás haciendo, porque es...
No hay por qué.
Una necesidad grandísima que tenemos nosotros los boricuas, y desafortunadamente pues algunos de nosotros estamos mal informados y no nos hemos envuelto, pero que con lo que tú haces, pues esa información pues puede salir y la gente pues puede usarla. Aquí en este show, antes de que sigamos, hablamos inglés, hablamos español y hablamos Spanglish, y nuestra gente está acostumbrado a eso.
Un poquito
si
de
yo
todo.
Yo empiezo a hablar en inglés, no te apures, que eso es una cosa que hacemos siempre. So, déjame comenzar preguntándote, ¿quién es Desiree Garcet? Para que la gente la conozca.
Bueno, muchas gracias, Will. Yo simplemente soy una mujer trabajadora, una madre. Mi experiencia como tal es en finanzas. Trabajé casi 10 años en finanzas. Y hace 3 años atrás decidí dedicarme completamente al activismo en cuestión de la crisis humanitaria que estaba pasando en Puerto Rico. Y desde ese momento empecé a organizarme dentro de mi comunidad, con mi familia, con mis amigos, y fuera de mi comunidad, en otros pueblos que realmente no visitaba anteriormente, conociendo a muchas personas diferentes que no había conocido antes, pero todo con el propósito de llevar y traer información. Y lo que mencionas, no nos conocemos personalmente, pero somos amigos a través del Facebook. El Facebook es una herramienta muy importante, muy útil, que nosotros debemos de aprovechar en este momento, porque es una de las primeras veces en la historia que la información está tan disponible ahí en el momento, que lo podemos compartir, que mientras que las personas están protestando pueden hacerlo a través del Facebook Live y nosotros aquí podemos ver lo que está pasando. Entonces, creo que también es muy importante usar las redes sociales. Si quieren poner un retrato de lo que cocinan y cosas para así, todo eso está bien, y compartir fotos de familia es algo muy bonito, nuestro arte, compartir todas esas cosas, pero también ser muy inteligente y usarlo como una herramienta para educar a esas personas que no saben o que no han tenido la oportunidad de tener la información de la historia de Puerto Rico y los Estados Unidos en Puerto Rico, o la historia de Oscar López Rivera y lo que significa, o lo de la Junta de Control Fiscal, lo que está pasando actualmente y lo que ha estado pasando en el último año y en los últimos meses.
Sí, es muy importante tener una cuenta de Facebook y saber usarla. Obviamente yo soy de los que la uso para muchas cosas. A veces me gusta mucho la comedia, paso algunas cosas de comedia porque creo que es importante reírse.
Claro,
también
sí.
Me gusta poner muchas fotos porque soy fotógrafo y me encanta poner fotos hasta de mí mismo. Me gusta poner fotos.
Claro, claro.
De todos modos. Claro. Pero sí, es un instrumento muy, muy importante. Y nosotros aquí en Boricuas of the World lo estamos usando pasando de esa manera con nuestras páginas Boricuas of the World Social Club, Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show y Presente y de Pie. Y entonces también estamos en Twitter y eso es importantísimo porque tenemos que usar todas esas cuentas para traer la información necesaria. Una de las cosas que yo estaba hablando con Nelson Dennis, con quien hablé hace un show que hicimos hace como un mes y medio atrás, es que nosotros desafortunadamente no tenemos la información que queremos tener porque hay como seis conglomerados que controlan la prensa. Y lo que sale de la prensa es lo que ellos quieren que nosotros escuchemos. No es lo que verdaderamente pasa. Y de la única manera que nosotros podemos saber exactamente lo que está pasando es si nosotros mismos lo reportamos. Exacto. Si nosotros mismos vamos a esos eventos y lo enseñamos, como tú dijiste, en Facebook Live y cosas así. Háblame un poquito de los eventos en el cual tú te has envuelto. Pues yo sé que tú vives por allá, por New Jersey ahora, ¿no?
Sí, actualmente estoy viviendo en New Jersey. Como había mencionado, hace 3 años atrás puse a buscar información cuando aprendí quién era Oscar López Rivera y me comuniqué con una persona que estaba formando un comité en North New Jersey, Luis Negrón. Y desde ahí empezamos a hacer el esfuerzo por la liberación de Oscar, hacer campaña, imprimir flyers, hacer el trabajo, entrar a la comunidad, repartir los flyers, hablarle a la gente y en específico hablar sobre los derechos humanos de los puertorriqueños y la falta de esos derechos humanos por causa de los Estados Unidos. Primero que nada también, Will, quisiera ante todo agradecer a todas las personas que estuvieron protestando hoy día al frente del Alexander Hamilton Building en Wall Street, en New York City. Yeah, hoy era la primera reunión donde iban a nombrar al presidente de la Junta de Control Fiscal y hubo un grupo de militantes fieles que estuvieron ahí para enfrentarlos de una manera militante, agresiva, con esa rabia que tanta falta hace dentro de nuestras comunidades y quiero agradecer a todas esas personas y a todos esos grupos que estuvieron ahí hoy día.
Sí, para los que no saben, a las 7 de la mañana fueron convocados a Custom House downtown y la protesta claramente es para mandar un mensaje a los puertorriqueños, primeramente los puertorriqueños queremos mandar un mensaje que la Control Board o la Junta de Control no es una cosa que queremos y queremos que se desaparezca. Y entonces un grupo militante de boricuas se dio cita allí a las 7 de la mañana. Eso es algo muy, muy importante y una cosa que debemos de seguir haciendo, que no solamente hacerlo aquí en Nueva York, sino que tenemos que hacerlo en Nueva Jersey, tenemos que hacerlo en Florida, tenemos que hacerlo en California, tenemos que hacerlo en todos lados y claramente Puerto Rico, que se está haciendo ya. Ahí es donde voy contigo un poquito, porque quiero hablar acerca de algo que creo que es importante. Mucha gente dice, ay, yo no me envuelvo porque yo no tengo tiempo, que tengo los hijos, tengo que trabajar, y no, uno comprende eso. Pero no es la idea de que no te puedas envolver, es la idea de que te puedas envolver lo más que tú puedas. Entonces, claro, yo estoy mirando que hay algunas facciones de nuestros grupos que, de las personas que piensan igual que tú y yo, que piensan que todo el mundo debe ser igual de militante, que todo el mundo debería ser así, fuerte. ¿Qué tú crees de eso? ¿Tú crees que está correcta esa posición?
Bueno, yo creo que esas personas reconociblemente están dando el mayor sacrificio, porque muchas veces se arriesgan you know, they can be arrested at any time. They're risking their lives. They're risking their livelihood if they work for a company, if they work for a bank that has anything to do with what's going on in Puerto Rico, for example.
And they
were to go and protest this, and they were, you know, protesting this on Friday morning, but then Monday morning dressing up in a suit and going to work in Wall Street, that could create a problem for them. You know, that could be a big problem for somebody that has that type of career. And it's just the right thing to do. I mean, these people who are militant, we have to talk about the people in Puerto Rico that have formed El Campamento Contra la Junta, because as soon as Obama signed PROMESA into law on June 30th, a group of individuals created this Occupy movement in front of the Federal Tribunal building in San Juan. So really, these people have been living there since June 30th. You know, we're already almost in October, and they haven't moved from there. Rain, shine, they have tents. They're living there, literally. So these people, we have to recognize them. They're the most militant of us, the ones on the island, the ones that are doing it here. But at the same time, we have to support them. Can all of us do these type of activities? No, I mean, some of us can, and we go and we present ourselves, and we're, you know, we form a part of it, but not all of us do have that opportunity. Sometimes it can be a disability that doesn't allow you to participate, even though you really want to and you feel obligated to, because si eres boricua y sientes esa obligación de que quieres estar presente, but you have this disability that's holding you back, then, you know, you might feel bad about it. But what I want to say to that is that you really shouldn't feel bad about it, because there are many ways to be militant and there are many ways to resist. And if you can make it to a protest, that's wonderful, because the more bodies that they have there, the more people are seen, the more seriously our petitions will be taken. But at the same time, if you can't make it in your own community, you know, if you can't travel to where the protests are, you can organize with your family. You can organize through social media. You can do even things like boycotting some of the companies that have any financial interest with the debt of Puerto Rico. One of the groups actually here in New York that has been doing a lot of great work since last year and has been creating a lot of protests that really welcomes all different sectors. Like, they welcome everybody. They've had panel discussions. They've been really proactive about the humanitarian crisis in Puerto Rico. It's a group called A Call to Action on Puerto Rico. And one of the leading members of this group, she's an activist by the name of Lourdes Garcia. And at a panel discussion that I had gone to that she was speaking at, she mentioned a lot of these hedge funds, you know, sometimes you think, well, how can I boycott a hedge fund? Like, you know, just look into some of the accounts. You see these names, you know, Capital Funding, this, that. You're like, well, they're not really a local bank. I don't know. How can I? She mentioned sometimes check in your company's 401k, check in your retirement plan. A lot of times your company invests in these same firms, Franklin Templeton and companies like that, and you may not even realize it, but you have your retirement assets invested in this firm that's doing these really illegal practices that are causing so much heartache for the people of Puerto Rico, causing this mass migration, and all of the other things that they want to bring with PROMESA now, which, you know, if we want to discuss what they want to do with PROMESA, it goes into effect basically. Today they named Jose B. Carrion as the president, and it goes into effect, I think, by like October 14th, they said that the governor has to give in all financial reports. But basically within 30 minutes, they took control over all of the public agencies. And just some important points to go over about PROMESA. They're going to have full control of the budget of Puerto Rico. And what they say is basically law. They supersede everything, every branch of government, the courts, the governor. The governor doesn't even have a vote. The governor wasn't even present at the meeting today. He had his representative here for him. I believe his name is Richard Ravitch. He was Lieutenant Governor of New York from 2009 to 2010.
I know him quite well.
Yeah.
I know Richard Ravitch quite well because, unfortunately, I worked for state government, and I got to meet him a number of times. But García Padilla stated that he was putting together a work plan which we would have together for the colonial board within 2 weeks. So it seems like everybody is aligning themselves, you know, and as soon as the board says jump, they're going to say how high. That's what it seems to me, you know.
Absolutely.
And I have a bit of a cold, so I apologize for my coughing.
No worries.
Getting back a little bit to what I mentioned earlier is the fact that, you know, we see what the people are doing there, the camping in front of a building and staying there, and that's strong. People become afraid of that. But you don't have to be afraid of that because, you know, you can, whatever level of involvement that you have, it's involvement. So if you can just, you know, read articles about what's going on, and if you think that they're saying the truth, you can share them with your friends on Facebook. Or if there's a march and you can just be a part of that march, you don't have to be militant if you feel that that is something that is going to hurt you, your family in any way. But at least you can support the people that are doing it by doing the things
exactly
that are important, which is, you know, disseminating all that information, making sure people get to read about it and talk to your friends. You know, you don't have to, you know, you'd be surprised how much you can get accomplished by just going to a friend and talking to that friend and telling that friend to pass it on. Or when you're going to the supermarket and you find your friends, you begin a conversation about that. When you go to wash your clothing at the laundry, you know, you can do the same thing, talk to people. But the idea is that don't be afraid of being involved. Another thing that we need to stop is the factioning. You know, you have factions in the movement which are, I think, that are counterproductive to what we're trying to do. If we're all thinking that Puerto Rico debería ser libre and that Puerto Rico is a colony, then we're all on the same page, you know. We all think that, you know, that road is what's going to lead to La Libertad de Puerto Rico or La Libertad de Oscar. But the idea is that we got to all push. No matter what road we take, we all got to push and do what is necessary in order to make it happen. But anyways, so one of the things that is scaring the heck out of me is that the Pew Research Center said that for 2013 and 2014, there was 5.1 million Puerto Ricans here in the United States and 3.5 in Puerto Rico. We lost in 2014 84,000 Puerto Ricans from the island. People are leaving in droves, and to me, you know, it speaks volumes about what's going on. But more importantly, is that it feels like the ship is sinking and people are leaving. What's your take on that?
I absolutely agree with you, Will, and I think that unfortunately, from here on out, it's only going to get worse if we don't start getting involved, just like you were mentioning. No matter where you are, no matter what you do, if you're Puerto Rican or not, it doesn't matter. But I know that this touches on the heartstrings of Boricuas everywhere, what's happening right now, especially if you're living there and you've witnessed it yourself, if you were one of the 30,000 public employees that were let go during Fortunio's term, if you are one of the hundreds of thousands of people that were hit by the 2008 crash with the subprime lending, which John Paulson, a super hedge fund billionaire manager, has bought a lot of beaches, resorts. He's really investing in Puerto Rico. I mean, and he's one of the key players in this subprime mortgage lending, which was basically these mortgages that they would offer very low rates on to home buyers that would then at some point inflate the interest to amounts that were unsustainable for the person to continue paying, and a lot of predatory lending and fraudulent practices aside from that. But these billionaires are basically pushing out everyone else from the island, and they've lobbied in Washington to have this bill passed, and lawmakers have tried to, you know, when it first came out, H.R. 4900, they tried to pass it on, that it, you know, it kept on getting amended, and you would think that it would get better as time would pass, and it kept getting worse. Instead of getting better. When they first mentioned legislation, they're talking about Chapter 9 bankruptcy. They're talking about the sponsor, Representative Sean Duffy. He's talking about the Puerto Rican people electing the board members of the Fiscal Control Board and them having the choice, you know, at least for it to seem like a democracy. But none of that, when it passed H.R. 5278, none of that actually came into play. And it looks like a lot of these hedge fund managers just kind of went in and made the legislation worse, lobbied for it to be worse. And now I really don't even want to wait to see what happens when they lower the minimum wage to $4.25 for people younger than 25 years.
Makes me sick. You know, and the fact of the matter is that the board is there to protect the hedge fund managers and not the Puerto Rican people. So, you know, it's going to be a dilemma for our people in Puerto Rico. And I feel bad. I have tons of family out there, obviously. And, you know, some of them are folks who are retired, who are already, you know, living on their retirement money. But many, I have a lot of cousins that are young and that you know, that may fall into that category of the $4.25 an hour?
$4.25, $4.25.
You know, and you can't live here or there or anywhere, I think, in the United States.
Even much less there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I remember in 2006, I went to visit my mother and father. My mother was still alive at the time, and they were living there in Mayagüez, where I'm from. And I went to, you know, I said, well, I'm going to buy a few items in Puerto Rico just to bring back. I went to buy a shirt, and I had seen a similar shirt in New York. Believe it or not, it was more expensive in Puerto Rico. It was a $35 shirt. When I was $29 in New York, but everything was, you know, I felt like I was in New York, you know, purchasing things in New York. So, you know, si la cosa estaba para mí se veía mala, I can imagine después de que todos esos trabajos perdidos y todas esas personas jovencitas ganando $4.25 la hora, va a ser increíble. And you know, you know, si el pueblo tiene que despertar, you know, the unfortunate thing, Desiree, and I don't know if you have the same issue with some of your family members. I talked to some of my family members. Yo soy de La Pava. It gets me so aggravated.
Yo
soy de La Pava, que yo soy de La Pava, que yo soy de La Pava. And excuse me.
It's like a religion.
¿Qué ha hecho la papa por ustedes? My uncle, I said, tío, when he used to work at Starkist Tuna in Mayagüez, when they left, he was left without a job. They nothing. No le dieron un par de pesito. Nothing. And he began struggling, you know, and he would find a job that would last for 3 months. But no, que la pava lo va a arreglar todo. Tío,
claro.
Please.
Así llevan, you know, hace muchos años.
Yeah, and so I spoke to him about el movimiento pro independencia. Mira, muchacho. Mira, muchacho.
Vete pa' Cuba.
So, unfortunately, many of our elders
do not understand.
But I think that we really need to get the message across to the younger generation and get them to look back and see what happened with their parents and look into the future and say, this is what I want. This is where I'm headed. I don't know. I mean, what do you think it'll take?
I agree with you. I mean, personally, from my standpoint, all of my family, all of my mother's family was all pro-statehood, todos PNP, everyone. So independence
really?
Is
PNP?
Like all the way. PNP, todito, todito. You know,
wow.
My parents, my dad came from Puerto Rico when he was 3 years old in 1953. And my mom came in 69 when she was 19. And they weren't really politically involved, I would say, my parents, because they grew up in the late 50s, 60s. You know, they were growing up and they kind of had this idea that we had to assimilate. I kind of understand them. You know, I think it's important sometimes when we have this conversation. My main person that I have this thing with that you're mentioning is my mother, because I love my mother more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows this. I'm my mother's baby girl, and she's just an amazing human being, an amazing caretaker. She worked as a homemaker for 30 years, taking care of the elderly, taking care of them, you know, when going in Saturdays, Sundays, going in at night if something were to happen. I mean, she really treated these people like her family. And she would take me with her a lot of times when she couldn't find a babysitter and, you know, kind of hide me in the closet of the apartment when the main nurse would come and do the checkup and things like that. But I would help her clean the apartment and clean the bathroom and care for these elderly people that really a lot of times not even their own family would go and visit them. And some of these people were bedridden, you know, they really needed like help. They needed physical help. They needed people to change their diapers and give them a bath and do all of these things for them. So it was kind of, I grew a lot of strength from my mother, but she did grow up in that era where, you know, Elela, Luis Muñoz Marín, you know, now Puerto Rico puede votar por su gobernador, ya tenían mayor autonomía que anteriormente, en los años anteriores, y también es post-era de Albizu, and a lot of, you know, mucho de la prensa categorizaba a las personas que creían en la independencia como terroristas o comunistas. Esas dos cosas, you know.
Yeah, I heard
so
that.
When the
I
first
heard
time,
that. I heard that from my father's mouth, and, you know. So.
Yeah.
Pero que tú sabes que they again, like you said, they come from a time where things were getting better in their eyes. You know, the economy
exactly.
was going from caña to industrial, you know, and they saw, you know, with their own eyes
exactly.
that things were changing, and they thought that change was going to be for the better, you know. And so I understand
exactly.
that. But I think that, you know, you got to live life with your eyes open. And I hope that some, you know, you know, después I'm a viejo myself, so pero que I think that muchas veces después de, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but I think that we better start learning how to learn new tricks even at an older age.
I mean, my mom is maybe even coming with me to the Oscar march. Like, I'm trying to convince her to come out with me, and if I speak to her now from, you know, 5 years back when I first started talking about independence for Puerto Rico with her, now she's completely different, and she really respects my opinion, because it's like you say, that progress was temporary, and it just let us see really that a colonial model may seem sometimes like a benefit. Really, it's not. I mean, that sounds ridiculous me saying that, but I'm referring to the industrialization, the new jobs, the progress that was being seen at that time. But it's not sustainable, because at the end, it's the bottom line for the colonizer. And
exactly.
they are really a brute force. And instead of going forward and moving now, okay, well, we couldn't choose our governor before, now we can choose our governor. Now we have a bit more sovereignty, not internationally, but at least within our own country. We have some type of sovereignty as far as to the courts and legislation. But now, instead of moving forward, the next rational step would be a fair decolonization process. 10, 15, 20 years, whatever the case, and outline everything, that would be the next, you know, I mean, there's not very many colonies left in the world. So you would think that that would be the next step. But it's really going back into reverse now with this, like, colonial takeover board that is going to just cause so much harm. Aside from the $4.25 that they're going to be paying workers, which is going to cause a lot more people to leave the island, they're also going to be able to fast. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
They're also going to be able to fast track some, you know, projects, industrial projects, without really having to obey any of the environmental protection agency laws that are in place. And any laws that have already been approved, they can actually just veto them now at this point. After the fact, they can just come in and veto it.
Yeah, and selling our green lands and privatizing beaches. And I mean, what it's planned is typical of a capitalistic society. That's why I'm not really big on capitalistic societies, because look what's happening in the United States. 1% owns the majority of the wealth, and so that's why they don't work. Those ideas don't work, you know. And Puerto Rico is a big example of that. The fact that a lot of that debt is not really debt at all. Bothers the heck out of me, you know. Just the interest. I mean, I think it's $345 million for the interest, I believe, or something to that effect.
Really insane.
That's mind-boggling, you know.
Yeah,
pero
I absolutely agree with you.
¿Qué se puede hacer? You have any final thoughts? We're about to close the show, and I'm really happy. Really happy. Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, really, my final thoughts are just to anyone that's hearing me out there. If you're Boricua, get involved, find a committee, just stand up for your rights. Don't feel like your voice is too small or there's nothing really that you can do. There's always something that you can do. Another thing that PROMESA is going to be doing, they're going to be eliminating the right of public employees to strike or to protest. So we're going to be seeing a lot of arrests coming up. They've already made 5 illegal arrest today in Puerto Rico. There was also a protest. Aside from the one in New York, there was one in San Juan and the Caribe Hilton. There were 5 arrests. More arrests are going to be coming. This is only going to get worse, so please get involved. Crowdfund, boycott these companies. Tell them to get your 401k and allocate them in other investments. Don't invest anything in them. And whenever you can show up to a protest and let them know that we're here. We don't want our nation to die off. It's a country, it's a nation, and it has to be independent, and it belongs to us, and it's our responsibility to do so.
Eso es lo que es. So, folks, listen, estamos terminando, but just one final reminder. Sunday, October 9th, la marcha en Washington para pedirle a Obama que saque de la cárcel a Oscar López Rivera. Okay, así que si quieren, como les dije, si quieren información, pueden ir a boricuahumanrights.org y ahí pueden conseguir información con ellos. Si quieren ver el flyer,
can I just share a number, Will?
Sure.
Can I just share a number really quickly?
Yes,
just
please.
For anybody in New Jersey, you can contact Luis Negron at 973-207-3750. We already have the buses ready, and we just need beautiful people like yourself to fill them. So please contact him.
And so, again, if you want to see the flyer, you can go to www.presentedepie, okay? Go to community events, and we have the flyer there so you can get all the information you need, okay? Pues, mi gente, como siempre les digo, pa'lante siempre. Nos vemos la semana que viene. Como siempre les digo, es que para saber a dónde vamos, tenemos que saber de dónde venimos. Los dejo con una musiquita que se llama Flying, que le escribí hace como 6 meses atrás. Espero que les guste. Destry, thank you once again. Agradezco
muchas gracias.
Tu
buenas noches a todos.
Bye-bye.
A usted, Will. Gracias. Bye-bye.